Hi, my name is Matt Zuschel, a junior at Lutheran High School North in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhsnstl.org. lhsnstl.org.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org. LHSASTL.org.
Eric, we're talking about potholes right now, okay?
It's not potholes you need to worry about. It's potheads. I know what these people are capable of.
Rocky Mountain High. Rocky Mountain High.
Welcome back to the Student Union, everyone, here on the beautiful campus of LCMSU. I'm your host, the Chancellor, Pastor Marcus Zill. We've got a lot to talk about today, everyone, so we are going to dive right in to our conversation this week.
$1,000, what day comes after Sunday? Brian?
French tips.
That's incorrect, Brian, and guess what?
Give me your hand.
You lose!
Wow.
Oh, wow, it's right, because marijuana has made you a complete imbecile.
We are here this week on the Student Union with Reverend Daniel Burhop. Pastor Burhop is the pastor, the campus pastor, full-time at University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder, Colorado, our LCMS University chapter at the University of Colorado. Welcome, Pastor Burhop.
Thank you very much, Marcus. It's glad to be here.
Well, as most people know, I have been indebted to you for some time. I don't know if you've still ever forgiven me for leaving the University of Colorado out of the unwrapped the Unwrapped National Campus Ministry Conference booklet. I've done a pretty good job of making things up to you since then, haven't I?
I think you're pretty close.
Okay, well,
so,
that's good.
It's getting there, maybe one or two more things.
Okay, but always holding out for some more love. But now it's great to have you with us. You have been there at the University of Colorado for how long now?
2007 is when I was installed there right out of seminary, so this is our ninth year that I've been here now.
Well, that is fantastic. 9 years. For our listeners that don't know, I had been up the road a couple hours at the University of Wyoming at the full-time campus ministry at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center. Go Pokes! And for 15 and a half years, and so Pastor Burhop and I overlapped for more than half of those, and always had a lot of fun rivalry between the two places. In fact, isn't it getting close to the time where you guys have to go up and revenge your major paintball destruction by the University of Wyoming? Don't you have some sort of a border war going on with them?
We do. It's coming up October 10th. We'll be driving up the night before so we can have some fellowship and get to know the students that we're going to shoot with paintballs the next day. And we'll drive down. And then we'll shoot them and we'll win and we'll come back to Boulder victorious.
Okay. And then you'll be tied. Because if I recall, now you have a little personal vendetta with Pastor Mark Preuss, don't you? Tell everybody about that.
I do. Well, we tied last year 2-2 in games. So then they had a shoot-off between me and Pastor Preuss and he ended up winning that. So I feel like I let us down. So now we've got to make sure that we write that this year. So we've been training hard and running around and just exercising to be ready to take them on.
Well, you know, and it would be quite apropos if it came down to a duel, as it did last year between you and Pastor Price. So, anyway, see everyone. Campus ministry is sometimes we're actually very, very serious. And so, anyways, how is school going there? I know it's you're probably close to a month into things now by now, but how is everything going so far this fall?
We've had a great start of the year. We have a lot of our students came back from last year. We only had two graduate. So we had a good base of students that were back at the start of this year. And we've gotten a lot of newer students involved, even a few that are coming in through catechesis right now. And just having a great year, getting started off, learning what it means to be the church. And our students are growing into a lot of leadership roles of what that means. And it's really been a beautiful start of the year.
What kind of activities? What does a typical week, like a weekly schedule, look like at the at ULC?
Well, the main thing is divine service, and that's every Sunday. We do it Sunday night instead of Sunday morning. So Sunday night at 5 o'clock, we gather around the liturgy and around Christ and His Word and His sacraments, and that's the main thing. We always talk about how the place of the church is to be a place of the forgiveness of sins. That's what Luther talks about in the Large Catechism. It's a place where there's continued uninterrupted forgiveness of sins through the words, through the signs, the sacraments, and bearing with one another. So if it is that, we've got to gather, first of all, around where that forgiveness of sins is given.
Now, real quick before mm-hmm. you continue, why Sunday night? That's not kind of the norm. This is not a Sunday night service in addition to a morning service, but you've been doing this for a while. Tell everyone why you guys have a Sunday night service instead of a normal Sunday morning.
When I first got here, it was Sunday morning, and over the summer, we wanted to make sure to get around and visit the area churches that support us, because we rely on a lot of support from them. So we switched it to an evening service over the summer so that on Sunday mornings, we could get around to these churches. And our students just really liked it and liked the idea of doing the evening service. Not that it's too hard to look up for a 10:45 service in the morning, but...
Yeah, but everybody knows college students like to get up early.
Yeah, it's a quiz. Of course. So that's why you have to have it either 6 o'clock in the morning so that they can get up and get at church and start studying, or late at night. And this also lets them go home for the weekend, and then they can come back by 5 o'clock or go out skiing, but still be centered around where the word is. So Sunday nights we do that. And another aspect of that, too, is we get to provide Sunday evening meal for all of our students. So we have different LWML groups from the area, youth groups from the area, and just other churches will come in and even join us for worship sometimes at 5 o'clock and then prepare the meal so we can have that fellowship time afterwards where we gather first around God's Word and then we gather with people just in conversation. And it's been a great thing for us.
And the nice thing about Sunday night is, you know, those folks wouldn't be available to participate in that way or to help provide things for you guys if you had it on Sunday morning.
Exactly. And that's one of the big things we've been doing over the past 8 or 9 years is getting this idea that, yes, we are a campus ministry and it's just college students and I'm their pastor, and that's a very important thing for them to know. But we are one church. We share one doctrine with all these other churches, and we get to celebrate and do things with them in various ways.
And so what does the rest of the week kind of entail? What's kind of a typical week like there?
Two kind of big nights. Tuesday night is our Bible study night. So we have Bible study at 8 o'clock. And so we've kind of added to that over the years, too, over the past few, where we'd always have leftover food from Sunday night, and we didn't want it to go to waste. Students like food, so we said, hey, let's get together before Bible study and eat food. And then they wanted to add another kind of prayer service into the week, too. So now on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we meet for a prayer service. No sermons, but scripture readings and usually readings that we're going to look at in Bible study. And then have more food and just time to gather together and then get into Bible study at 8 o'clock, which usually is supposed to go till 9. Sometimes, like last night, goes till 9:30 because students just stick around and keep asking questions. And then Thursday night is more of our bearing with one another kind of night, where it's not really gathered around a Bible study or a church service, but we do random different things like go out to restaurants, eat, and have a discussion. This week, we're not going to do anything on Thursday night because we're going to go to the Rockies fireworks game Friday night. So we'll be able to enjoy that.
And well, say hi to my favorite Major League Baseball mascot, Dinger, for me if you're there.
I will. I know you love him, so I'll take probably a really nice selfie with me and our students and make sure to text
I know.
That
he, for the This is totally inside baseball here, but Pastor Burhoff, the last time he took his students to Rock, I absolutely have this total, I detest the Rockies. I love the Rockies. Can't stand their little dinosaur, diaper dinosaur mascot. And so he never fails to send, he sent a picture with all of his students that went to the game with him and him with Dinger, the Rockies mascot. But I digress. Well, you know, last thing by way of introduction here, and for the sake of those that are interested in starting campus ministry, you have kind of a unique mm-hmm. setup there in terms of how your support is structured. Mm-hmm. Tell everyone, just in a minute or so, how do you receive support there at University Lutheran Chapel?
In a whole lot of different ways. And that's one thing I think that kind of makes our campus ministry in particular unique is we are an actual congregation, but we don't have a congregation with us. So you have a lot of kind of town gallon campus ministries where there's an established congregation that also does campus work, or a mission of a district that's doing campus work where the district kind of controls everything. We are technically a congregation. Our students are the ones who are voters, assembly members, and things like that, who decide the budget, who serve on church council. But we don't have, you know, a group of, you know, 50 or 100 regular kind of town members with us. So we rely on a lot of support from different people. Our district does give us a very nice subsidy, and also the building. The district owns it and lets us use it for free, so we're very gratefully indebted to the Rocky Mountain District and their support of our campus.
No, and they are absolutely one of the districts that I always highlight as being extremely supportive of campus ministry. So, no, that's completely true.
And then that support filters then down through the individual congregations in our circuit and a little bit outside of our circuits that contribute financially in a lot of ways, some with a percentage of their offering, some with a mission fund, and some with just free will offerings every once in a while that they'll take up. And then our Rocky Mountain District LWML also gives us a grant each year. And then we do some more fundraising through, you know, football parking, and things like that. So it stands on a whole lot of legs, but it really needs every single one of them for that support to keep us where we are and doing what we're doing.
Well, you have done, your congregation has done a terrific job of really giving an example of how to build that kind of local community and circuit-wide and beyond support for your campus ministry, and you're to be commended for that. Say, I have a quick question for you, because I get asked this all the time, and people always talk about the students always ask questions about the legalization of marijuana, the pot question, and you happen to be the campus pastor in really, you know, marijuana ground zero as far as campus ministries are concerned at the University of, you know, 420, what is this 420 thing that we're always hearing about? And has the legalization of marijuana in Colorado, has it had an impact on anything in terms of life, not only at your campus chapel, but also in and around the University of Colorado?
You know, I really don't think it's done all that much to change Boulder, just because I know while it was illegal, it still really didn't stop people from smoking pot all over the place anyways. So you do smell it when you're outside. You can smell people walking by and you can tell that they've smoked marijuana, or you get these whiffs coming true. But that happened before the legalization too.
But what was the 420 thing though? A lot of people aren't familiar with that.
Yeah, 420 was kind of a political protest where everyone would get together and smoke pot. About the legalization of marijuana. So they would get 10,000 people would come onto our campus and be there smoking pot on 420, because that was the kind of national holiday for marijuana smokers. But in honesty, it's actually kind of died down since the legalization of it, where the last few years, CU has kind of put a lot of money into shutting down campus to keep the protests from being there, and a lot of the protests moved to other places. Down in Denver, in various places, where now this year they didn't even lock off campus and there wasn't any rallies or anything like that, which makes sense. If your protest was to get marijuana legalized and now it's legalized, why would you protest anymore?
Poor hippies don't know what to do with themselves, do they?
No, they don't.
But they don't care because they're smoking pot, so.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, it's nothing that our students really deal with. You know, they know that marijuana is not the greatest thing in the world for you. And I'm really proud of who our students are, too, that even though it's legal, it's not like they're running out and grabbing joints and smoking it all the time.
Well, and that's the thing that I've always said to students when I get asked this question or others is that, you know, never mind the whole, you know, we love to argue whether or not something should be legal or not. And I have fairly strong views on that point. But ultimately, the bottom line is, even if something is legal, I mean, there's plenty of things to do on campus in Boulder or anywhere that you can do that's completely legal, but it doesn't mean it's meet, right, and salutary for you either as an individual, or it's, and it certainly doesn't necessarily build up the body of Christ.
Exactly.
So, anyways, I just thought I would ask. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, in addition to my indebtedness for forgetting you a couple of years ago, is that you had just written an article. In fact, your campus ministry, you've gotten some good press lately, buddy. One of your elders, Dr. Christian Koff, was just in the Lutherans Engage the World latest issue, highlighting, many of the faculty profs that we have out there that, that work at state universities. And in fact, let me just say, if you are a faculty person, a staff person at a state university, drop me a note. We're trying to build a network of people like Dr. Koff and others. But he's been a true blessing to your congregation. But you also just had an article, lest one of your members come to you and say, hey, look, I was just in one of the LCMS magazines. You could say, well, hey, I was just in one too. You wrote a short, pithy piece in the This We Believe section in the latest September issue of this year of the Lutheran Witness, Uncovering Myths About Me and Jesus. What is that article about?
It's kind of about that subjective myth where you can say, well, I don't need to be at church. It's really just about me and Jesus. He and I have this relationship, which is absolutely true. Jesus does have a relationship with you as an individual. He died for your sins, and we can't forget that. But when we just focus on that and that inner feeling kind of thing, we lose out on the great gifts God gives to the church through his objective means that deliver that relationship, that deliver that forgiveness that Jesus has given to you through a pastor who knows you, who can preach to you, who can absolve you, through the altar at your church where Jesus gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, and then unites you also with the other believers that are around that rail, and you get to go out into your week bearing with one another. But I think we sometimes can just think of, well, it's me and Jesus, and that's almost kind of an easy way out where it gives us an excuse not to go to church. And it's not that we even have to go to church, but we get to go to church. And if we lose track of that focus, that I get to go on Sunday and hear my pastor, who God has placed there for me, tell me my sins are forgiven. And I get to have him put the body of Christ into my mouth. And I get to see the baptismal font where I was baptized, or where at least other people have been baptized. Mine might be 20 miles down the road. But to remember those kind of things.
So it's really easy, you know, in the world in which we live, where we fall into, as you put it, this error of personalized and privatized religion. I was struck a couple of years ago by a study that, and I always tell people I never like to focus on statistics unless they back up what I already thought.
Exactly.
And I don't remember the exact statistics, but the bottom line is that this study made it very clear that our college students, like the rest of our country, are becoming more and more spiritual. But yet we look at the world around us and we see that everything seems a whole lot less spiritual. But you know, they walk around, they got their earbuds in, they're listening to music, they're focusing on their smartphones, they're kind of in their own. Has this had an impact on campus ministry and our college students, this privatization and personalization of this me and Jesus thing?
I think it has. And just in general, too, in our society, we really don't have like a shared text. We don't have the great books kind of thing anymore. Not even with books, but just even television or music, because everyone can listen to what they want to. We hand out coffee sometimes on our corner. You know how close we are to campus and everybody's walking by. And it's amazing how many people don't even see us there because they've got their earbuds in and they're looking at their phone while they're walking. And you know, you don't look up and actually see you're part of a world and part of other people. And it is really easy. And there's a lot of things out there that are great, like this podcast or this your radio program is a wonderful service to our students, but I know you would never say, hey, listen to the student union, don't worry about going to church.
Well, you know, actually, that is my goal. No, I'm just kidding. You don't need these campus. Oh, of course, you know, you're exactly right. We need, you know, we have a lot of wonderful tools and resources to subsidize and to enhance our learning and education, but they should never be they should supplement, not supplant our need for church and community.
Exactly. And it's really easy to even kind of then trick ourselves into saying, well, you know, I mean, we even put my sermons online for our students when they go home for the weekend so they can kind of keep up with what's going on and keep in the conversation. But that should never be an excuse of, well, I'm kind of tired today. I don't really want to go to church. I can just listen to Pastor's sermon later. It's great. I'm glad they can do that if they have to miss church. But there's something about receiving the body and blood of Christ that you can't get through that. Or even having the pastor there to give the benediction and put the name of Christ upon you as you head out. You don't get that through earbuds.
And that's also why, you know, not every campus ministry is blessed to have a wonderful facility like you guys do there at ULC in Boulder. But it's been kind of a crazy couple, 3 years here. In fact, I was just there this last weekend. I was privileged to have the opportunity to preach at the rededication of your sanctuary and your fellowship hall and some other areas of the church. Tell us what happened. What was the reason for which you had to have this massive renovation there, and how did God work through this? We've got maybe about 4 or 5 minutes here.
The big reason was we got hit by a flood. It probably has left our conscious memory, but it was back in 2013, September, about the same time that Boulder got hit by a whole lot of rain, and it was all the rain that was up in the mountains that then flowed down the mountains in through Boulder, plus the 17 or 18 inches of rain we got in about a 30-hour period, and usually over a year, we get about 20 inches of rain.
So you got a year's worth of rain in like 36, 48 hours or something.
Yes. So we had all sorts of damage all over Boulder, and where we're living, the two main roads around us were complete rivers. There was no way that we would have been able to get out if we had to. Our house was fine. That was great. But our neighbors, a lot of them had basement flooding and all sorts of damage. And then our church, we didn't have any flooding, but we had a damaged roof going into it that we didn't know about. So all the rain just landed on our flat roof and came basically straight through. Damaged a lot of the roof. It took till February to get that fixed. So then all the snow we got all winter also would melt down through. And it just got worse and worse. You're sitting there in worship on Sunday nights, and everyone's sitting on the left side because the right side of the sanctuary was full of buckets and dripping. Fellowship Hall had buckets all around. We couldn't use that. But it ended up being a blessing because of a lot of support from these area congregations that have learned to love us, and from our district especially. And then also insurance money, too. We were able to not just put a Band-Aid on our facilities and just redo the carpet, but really take a step back, look at our facility and say, you know, what do we want this place to be now? It's 50 years old. It was designed for students for 50 years ago. What could we do different? And went through a long process of doing a lot of demolition work in the fellowship hall ourselves last summer, so 2014. And then it just took a long time dealing with the city of Boulder and permitting issues to actually get this renovation done, where it ended up being about a two-year process. And we're just now, basically everything's done. We're waiting for a few little lights to come in, as you saw. But everything else is just, it's amazing.
Well,
it's a great place for our students.
It's just fantastic. And, you know, it's just a testament to how, you know, God truly does work things for the good of those who love them. And I remember, because I was up in Laramie yet, in Wyoming, when this happened, and it was like, oh, my gosh, you know, here things are tough enough, mm-hmm. and now you got to deal with this. And now look what God has worked out with the help and support of so many. It was a privilege to be there. A little bit of a bittersweet time because, I mean, you actually have some news here. I mean, what's the news that you have maybe to share with everybody in LCMSU Nation?
Yeah, so we'll just get it out there. I'm sure everybody knows who knows me already. But recently in August, I was extended a call to be pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Reese, Michigan, which is right around Saginaw area up near Frankenmuth. And as many people who know me know, we're from Michigan originally, and a lot of our family is back there. And not that that's the reason we're taking this call, but we are. I accepted the call, so I'll be leaving Boulder, traveling here at the end of October and moving out there. And then One reason that I felt like I could take this call, though, too, is because of what a great group of students we have. So selfishly, I'm kind of mad because I wanted to get through this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, too bad things awesome didn't students suck, because then you'd still be there, right?
Exactly. If things are still awful, I'd still be there.
Yeah.
But things are in a place where God's going to be able to work through these students and get a pastor here who's, like we were saying in the article, it's nice to have a pastor that God places there for you. And for the past 9 years, I've been that pastor for these students at ULC.
Well, Dean,
now he's placing me someplace else, and God's going to take another pastor and put him in here who's even better for the next step than I am.
Well, Pastor Burhop, in closing, please know that that I will, of course, do everything I can to be of help and support to your students, the congregation, those in the area, the Rocky Mountain District, during the time of transition. God will work this out. As I told your students and everybody gathered there this past Sunday, Christ is in this place. This is his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you have been a tremendous blessing to all of us in campus ministry. You've been a wonderful support to me, both personally as well as professionally. And we are going to miss you from campus ministry, but we know that in you we have a tremendous advocate for the cause of college students and their development going forward. So thank you for all you have done, and God's blessings to you on your transition.
Thank you very much. Now I get to be one of those pastors that hopefully takes their graduating seniors and hooks them up with campus ministry.
Absolutely. Thanks, Pastor Burhop.
You're welcome.
Well, that should about do it here on the campus of LCMSU. God's blessings to everyone at our chapter at University Lutheran Chapel in Boulder, Colorado, and to Pastor Burhop and his family at this time of transition. God be with all of you out there on campus, students, staff, workers, faculty members, and everyone who gives so much to support the cause of campus ministry. We'll look forward to meeting you here again next week in the Student Union. If you can't wait, and that's certainly understandable, don't forget that you can download all the archives of this program at kfuo.org. Keep in mind, wherever you go to school, we look forward to having you join us right here in the Student Union on the campus of LCMSU. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
The Student Union is underwritten by Lutheran High School Association. Two schools, one mission. Become one of the thousands prepared for successful Christian leadership. The Lutheran High School Association, nurturing Christian hearts, building strong minds. LHSASTL.org. LHSASTL.org.
Hi. My name is Kara McKenzie, a senior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. It's hard for teens to stay firm in their faith as they go through high school. We certainly don't get much support from our culture, and it's tough for our parents and churches to do it alone. That's why I'm at a Lutheran school, preparing me to succeed in college, serve as a Christian leader, and remain rock solid in my faith. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at LHSSSTL.org.